Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, because we're having a little phone difficulty in the studio today, so we're doing this a slightly different way. So we'll try to talk slowly and nicely and make this special. All right, welcome to Foodomania. It is spring has definitely sprung, and the exciting thing that's really happening is that the Tulip Festival here, where we are in the Skagit Valley in Washington State, is really just happening. The official festival starts in a few days, but there's tulips abound and daffodils abound and all kinds of incredible things popping out of the ground. And a lot of people have already started to work on their gardens weeks and weeks ago, of course, with early pruning and changing, the sort of setup in the garden and weeding a bit and getting the beds ready to plant. But this guy right here is a little bit behind the eight ball, and I'm working on it slowly but surely with everything else that's going on. But today, I'm so excited because I have a really special guest with me again. She's the one that helped us put him to sleep, and I got her back to wake him up. How you doing, Rhonda E?
I'm doing great. I'm listening to the birds singing this morning. The sky is blue, and all the flowers and smells in the air that I love and adore. This time of year is my favorite.
It is. It's really great. Well, in today's show, we're hoping that we can give you some early tips on starting to get your garden ready for planting. Like I said, sometimes some people have already started, but I think we're early enough that we think that it's not too late to get going on stuff.
Well, no, I think the image of today is your mower sitting out, your shovel and rake.
You're talking about me personally?
No, I'm talking about life in general. Everybody's got their wheelbarrow out. It's just like another, here we go again, guys.
Right, it's like it really didn't end.
Yeah, the competition begins.
All right, Ryan, I'm just going to ask you to talk more directly into the phone because I think that we want to make sure that everybody can hear you okay.
Okay.
So anyway, so to start off with, what happens when you, winter sort of passes by and all of a sudden we start getting there and all the birds start chirping and all of a sudden you look at the lawn, my first indication that the season is starting again is just to look at the grass and all of a sudden see the grass start growing. And this week I actually did my first mow, and it got me understanding, did I do everything I needed to do when we put the gardens to bed in our Put the Garden to Bed show? Did we do everything correctly at that point in time?
You know, it's really hard to tell sometimes, because we had a little bit different of a winter this year too, and it just depends on the winter and the kind of, what kind of cold we're getting. We still have a little bit, it's spring right now, but it's a little iffy if it's the northwest right now. You don't know, maybe in a couple of weeks we might get a big huge thing in the newscast that says we got a frost or a snow coming again. It sounds strange, but
no, it happened. Well, 2 weeks ago we had it, and especially back east. So
exactly. So I think better to stay on the safe side,
And by safe side, what do you mean exactly? I mean, how do you prepare for that? Say you went out today and started getting some things to plant, but let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But what do? You just basically out of luck if we get a frost?
Well, no, you're not really out of luck. I mean, chances are, it won't last for as long. There's no certainties or givens, on the weather forecast. I mean, you could say sunny and turn around a couple of days later, we're just kind of buffaloed and kind of blew our minds, unexpected. So being unexpected, probably the thought would be to, one of the things is to get your tools and your plants and all those things in order. What is your garden going to be like this year? Are you going to do a vegetable garden, flower garden? What does that look like? What can you plant right now? Getting ready to mow. might seem so simple, but you know if your lawnmower's not ready to go, you need to prepare that. So,
right. So you say before you even get out, well, you get out there and look, but you have to lay out all your tools and get everything ready.
Well, yeah, you want to refill your mower with oil, you know, install fresh spark plugs if you have to, lubricate, you know, clear the lawn of any winter debris. That's probably going to be your first step, is clearing the lawn of any debris. You know, as we know in the Northwest, we get lots of windstorms, and unless you're out there all the time, you know, you're basically going to have those things on the ground, in the garden, in the grass, wherever. And, you know, the other thing is, too, is you're also going to want to have, you know, things like areas that need reseeding before mowing. That's going to be a really beautiful thing to start, too, you know, because you might have some holes. Maybe the dog dug up a few ones. Maybe you had a few animals through the winter that decided to make a few holes coming out of the ground. So you're going to want to look at that and captivate what your lawn is going to look like, unless you're just, you know, a lawn is just a lawn to you. But if you're wanting to do more, then you're going to have to prepare for seeds, get your mower ready, find your tools, all your missing tools, choose the tools for your plants for your garden, start thinking about what kind of perennials and trees and shrubs for your spring planting. That's going to be the beginning.
Okay, great. So what I'm hearing you say, one of the things that I'm hearing you say is Roz is kind of laughing because I'm giving her hand signals because we're on a very strange phone system today, not our normal phone system. So forgive those slight delays. But what I'm hearing you say, and one of the most important things is you have a garden, obviously. When you talk about a garden as a whole, you incorporate your shrubs and your beds and where you're going to plant your flowers and vegetables. But basically what you're saying is the lawn is sort of the mother of the whole garden. In other words, everything usually centers around your lawn. But not everybody has a lawn, so let's talk about that a little bit. Some people have almost a limited lawn, and all they have is some small beds and also garden boxes. So once you get your tools together and you got your mower done and all mm-hmm. that, and you're looking at where you're actually going to plant,
right,
where you've possibly covered it with straw and did things like that for the winter, what's your first step, Rhonda? What do you do when you go to your bed for the first time? You got your tools done, your mower's
right,
re-oiled, all that stuff and is out of the way. You're ready to go to work. You got your gloves on.
Right,
what do you
right.
need to do first?
Well, if you're talking about raised gardens of that sort, then you're basically talking about if somebody doesn't have, you know, in a garden, it's in a raised bed, you know, pretty quite simple. I mean, probably the biggest probably no-no we don't do is put our feet or anything on top of the soil. When it comes to a raised bed, because we don't want to go and touch that precious soil, you know, with anything outside of our hands and a glove and a tool of some sort, because we've already taken out the weeds from last year, I'm hoping.
Let's say we haven't. What I'm saying is you have a bed that you haven't really looked at very
okay.
much. You have plastic over, whatever you have. What's your first step,
whether
it's raised or not?
Well, the first step basically is you're going to look at the soil itself. You're going to prepare the soil. You might want to do a soil test, a pH with a home soil test kit. Take some samples, get an accurate reading. And if you need to enrich the soil, if it's necessary, then you add some more lime, peat, or aluminum sulfurs to lower the pH level. That would be a good step. You're going to want to, you know, whatever word I would use, you're going to want to, you know, kind of sift through that dirt a bit too. If you have any weeds, you're definitely going to want to pull those out. So if it's the indication that you just didn't have time, you didn't make the time, or it just wasn't something you did last year to do that, that would be my first start, is get your soil ready. Get your weeds out. Get your dirt ready. Check your pH levels. Do your soil test. And that would be the start of your garden, so to speak, of a raised bed.
So you're pulling your plastic off. You're pulling your straw off. You're unveiling, basically, the soil again. And that would be, you know, mostly your first step.
Well, I kind of look at like a renovation or even just moving into a home. Do you want to move into a home with furniture already there, the dust of another person, or are you going to clean and get ready to renovate the home, move into the home basically with your own furniture, your own stuff? So, look, this is your place. This is your garden. These are your boxes, and these are your beds. So if you didn't have time or there was something that came up as an inconvenience, now is the time to prepare it for spring. So if it's just, like I said, a raised box, once again, your pH levels, your soils, all those things in your weeds out are going to determine what kind of garden you're going to have this year.
I get it.
A little bit of love and TLC is what's needed.
Love and TLC work.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the pH at a certain point that you need it. And so What do you suggest to enrich the soil at this point in time?
Well, one of my greatest things is basically is to go to a farm and get, you know, a load of cow manure, you know, start out with that. That would be the most enriching, I believe. A lot of people like to try other things, but I think the more you can go organic, too, the more you can go at the home front of even just going to a farm and grabbing whatever they might have, the manure mixed with sand, a little bit of dirt, all those vitamins and all those extra things that are inside that dirt that's just sitting for that whole time period before spring hits is just going to benefit your garden. It's going to help things grow. It's also going to ensure moisture within the ground. It's also going to prevent other things, too, that you don't think about, you know, even such certain bugs as well. It doesn't have a good smell, obviously, but if you can get past that for at least the first, you know, 7 to 14 days, that smell will be gone eventually.
All right. Well, talking about that now, some of our listeners don't have readily accessible farms close by. For instance, I know some of our listeners are in Tokyo and some of our listeners are in Brooklyn. Wherever they might be, they might not be that close to a farm. So you go generally to a good hardware store or a lawn and garden store and get some sort of an enrichment. Are you talking about you can buy basically bags of organic manure?
You can get well-rotted manure. You can get that and put it over soil and cultivate it. You know, you're going to cultivate it to a depth of 10 to 12 inches within a spading fork.
Okay.
That's what you'll use. You know, but basically, yeah, you can get a compost or a well-rotted manure within the store. You can probably get it at Walmart or Lowe's or I would think just about anywhere they would carry it. You know, it just depends, like
right.
I said.
Which is what most people do. But ultimately,
exactly.
If you do have a farm access, I mean, there used to be years ago I used to get used to live fairly close to a mink farm,
mm-hmm.
and that was a stinky situation, meaning virtually what goes up your nose. But that mink manure was
mm-hmm.
like golden. I mean, I grew things with, you know, using that stuff that I never even thought possible.
Right.
So, you know, if you do have access, you can, you know, you can get that. And I guess also you can get online wherever you are, even if you're in Brooklyn or someplace like that where you're more in a city environment. There's lots of networks through Whole Foods or the local co-ops and places like
yeah.
that where you'll always see signs for somebody else's poop, basically.
Well, and then basically you also have the fact that a lot of people start their own compost pile. So if you have your own compost pile, some people start in the garbage cans and let them just basically sit through the winter, being ready for spring. Sometimes they're just off of an area of your lawn somewhere. That's going to be perfect for your compost, you know, as far as basically using it. You know, you collected debris, leaves, you've raked up in the garden, you've chopped these all up, and you know, basically it's going to be carbon-rich materials.
Right.
So if you basically want to use that or you have that, then you have the advantage. You know, then you're going to want to really begin the balanced fertilizer thing. You know, that's going to be your next step, you know, getting your soil ready and fertilize.
Now, the thing about it is as far as pH is concerning and knowing that your soil is ready, is that sort of your benchmark? In other words, when you know the pH is proper, like I know it's a measure of the soil's acidity, right, for the most part, and different plants probably require different pH levels. So is it good? What do you do? It's good to do the research first to decide, like you just said, what you want to plant, whether it's going to be flowers or vegetables. I'd imagine you have to you know, check your pH differently for those different things.
Well, you're definitely going to do the soil test, you know, that's going to basically, you know, take a sample and it's going to give you an accurate reading. So it shows you how to enrich your soil.
Well, there are some basic steps, I guess, that you can use for pH.
Right.
And so is there a kit that you can buy or something like that?
There should be a kit in the store that basically talks about your pH level for your home gardens. I think maybe even, I'm trying to think of which one carries it.
Well, really, we can figure that out. We can have our guests write in for that. It's really exciting. So, all right, we're at that point where we know our pH is balanced. And how do you think about laying out a specific bed? Because you've done lots of gardens. Do you know that, is there certain things that do better next to other things? In other words, would you plant a potato next to a...
Mm-hmm. Would I plant a potato next to a what?
To a tomato or?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to plant potatoes yet, but yes, I would plant probably potatoes. Onions would probably be my next, you know. I would put beets, carrots, all in that in that section of potatoes, onions, cauliflower, beets, carrots. I would even maybe even do an artichoke. You know, there's so many of those you can do. You're going to put your corn in the middle, so to speak. I usually divide the tomatoes and cucumbers and squash on the other side of the garden.
Why is that?
Just because of the amount of room that they take. The plant size is incredibly huger. Potatoes grow up into a plant form. Squash moves out. You know, so you're gonna wanna measure your areas, you know, of planting. I also think it's really kinda nice, maybe some people don't. I kinda like to go white color. You know, so I kinda go by color. You know, because I think of a garden, I think of color. I think
right.
of white, purple, green, orange.
Right, because you want
colors.
It to look good too.
Yeah. And I think it's just nice, you know, plus you also think about it too, you know, it's like I'm gonna make me a stew tonight while I'm going over to the potato.
You're
gonna
make you a stew tonight?
I'm going to potato
carrot
section. So I'm going to keep all of my vegetables in that area together. You know, there are a lot of, we can get in that, but there are a lot of plants that grow really good side by side, fruit trees and vegetables, tomatoes, blueberries, you know, those kinds of things grow side by side. I think when it comes to a garden, I don't know that there's any specific rule. I think the whole thing is the captivated audience in your own mind. That's trying to captivate what you're going for, what you're trying to cultivate. You're feeding a family. You're creative. You love your garden. It's your portrait of life each year. It's something you value, you invest in. You want it to look beautiful. You want it to grow. You want to nurture it. So you're going to be looking at that beautiful thing that you designed and created. So for me, it's color. It also can be height. I want to be able to see it.
Right, from where you
exactly.
are.
Exactly, so I'm going to plant it where I can see it. Plus, I also need to separate it when you think of the amount of the size of a plant and how much room it takes.
Sounds to me like it's a good idea before you even lift a till or a hoe, I don't know, before you do anything, just sit out there a little bit with a cup of tea and a drawing tablet and some pencils and sort of sketch out your ideas so you can sort of have a battle plan in going into this. And that right now, you know, this show is going to be in two parts, so we can't cover everything today. But do you think in terms of the maintenance that you have to do? In other words, you know, it's all I know for me. It's always exciting. You go, oh, well, let's get one of those. Let's plant one of these. Let's do this. I've done that in the past.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you have 40 different things growing, but I don't have time to deal with it all. I mean, and you saw that in different gardens
right.
that you've had where, you know, you're really aggressive and excited, but you have 15 tomato plants, and you know what it takes to deal with a good tomato plant. You have to pick the leaves off. You know, you can tell our listeners about that. But so you really should think about that, I imagine, like plan how much time you're going to be able to invest on a daily basis, especially
right.
if you're working and you have kids and all that stuff. And how do you make that decision, really?
Well, I think it depends, once again, in your mind, how much time you have. What is your garden about? What is it utilized for? Is it also for the given of beauty for others to enjoy to look at? It's also for the given of complete, wonderful vitamins and enriched, flavors and taste of a home garden for your family, feeding people well, taking care of yourself, all those kinds of things. How much do you work? I mean, how much time are you able to cultivate in the morning, in the evening, the watering, the feed,
right.
all those things. I was going to say, too, though, when it comes to overplanting, the other thing is there are quite a few things you can actually plant in containers that are hanging.
Right.
And not everything has to be in the ground.
Right, and we'll talk about that next week because last year we started Foodomania with garden boxes and building your boxes.
Right.
So to me, a garden is anything. It could be one little 2 feet by 2 feet box, hangers, buckets, planters. We'll talk about all that. Right now, it's really great to just think about, okay, the soil, it's spring. We got to clean it up, put our hands in it, get things ready. And that plan of just sitting out and deciding what you want to do based on how much time you have.
Right.
And I guess it also is a family thing. If you do have a family and you do have a partner and maybe some children, that's something that everybody can participate in, I imagine.
I think gardening is one of the most awesome things when it comes to family time, when it comes to history, and it comes to cultivating an attitude within one's heart and mind
right.
to see the importance of where food really does come from and how we can cultivate our own gardens, how we can take care of ourselves in a way. And, you know, and at the same time, it gives us good quality time with our families, with our children, history of years and years of others working the ground. I mean, we live in a fast-paced society today where many people are eating at fast-food places, eating at wonderful restaurants, all of which I like. But when it comes down to the fact of taking care of yourself, that's probably one of the things we don't do really well at in this day, in this era. And I think it's a major error with us for our kids, too, because we also want our kids to know working your hands, working the soil,
right.
and growing a garden. There is such a tremendous joy and benefit.
Oh my gosh!
You know, to it, and at the same time, it also teaches the hard workingness of many people. And it seems to be that's kind of gone
take
to
that for granted,
the wayside.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're manufacturing things larger, whatever you want to call it. It's not about larger. It's not about bigger. It's not about more. It's about a product that feeds your family, a wonderful hands-on-hands experience with a garden, with something that you cultivated in your mind, in your heart,
yep.
and it's now just become a beautiful portrait of what you'd hope for. And at the same time, it's also fulfilled the need of your family, yourself, and it's only going to make you better and others better.
I agree with that.
And make you feel good at the end of the evening that it came from your own hand.
No, and that's a very good way of thinking about it. You know, again, my excitement was, you know, when I was a little kid in public school in New York, we used to get little milk containers. We'd have milk and cookie hour and toast a day. And then we'd save the containers
right.
and fill them with soil. The teacher would provide a seed or two.
I remember that,
we used
yeah.
to, remember, and we'd put it in the windowsill and it grew. And there was something real exciting about it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when I took it home, especially in the early days, there was really no place where I lived to plant anything. We had
right.
no garden, no lawn, no dirt of any kind. So it basically stayed in the windowsill until either we watered it or
right.
and it flourished into a little something or it went away. But
right.
the point that you're talking about is really good. So getting back to the nuts and bolts of it, so it's,
mm-hmm.
when you're planning now, when you're looking at your garden this year, even if last year you might have had 50 different things growing,
right.
it's not necessary that you have to do that this year. Maybe this year you'll put some flowers in or something like that, and maybe a few less vegetables based on your time schedule. But like you said, there's nothing more than a great understanding of where this comes from, how to do it, and the patience sometimes that you develop and understand that it takes to, you know, spend a little time with your hands in the dirt. And
well, the other thing you could do, too, Charlie, is you basically could take some of these plants you can take right now and do exactly what you're talking about. Teacher thing experience we had in school.
Right.
Get the soil, get ready, and you've got things like sweet peas, poppies, and vegetables such as lettuce and parsnip and spinach. You can start right now in your home,
right.
in your window, and get it ready for your garden. But get your garden ready, and these things will be ready too, and they'll be by your hand, by the seeds. But the other thing is too, people,
nice.
Also from the beautiful sunshine, all those beautiful things, you know. I mean, this is just one of those things you can use to teach your family and learn and grow
right.
yourself.
So you're right. You can do two things. You can get out there and clean up the leftovers from last
mm-hmm.
year, get the hay out of the way, get all the weeds done, do
yep.
a little raking, line up your bricks that might have sunk a little bit during the winter from the snow or rain or whatever
right.
you had, get it looking good, and simultaneously get some containers in your house in the windowsill, figure out what seeds you want to get, and start planting your starts. So everything can work hand in hand because it'll take several weeks to get your starts going.
Well, and then a lot of people are on a budget right now. My thing would be now, real quickly, is basically I would say to you too, put on a piece of paper what your plans are for this year, what it's going to cost. Get it ready to go.
Right, because it does
cost.
You
do that when you buy groceries too. You know, you get it ready, you go down to the grocery store, buy a bunch of food, whatever, cultivate your garden, figure out what it is you want to you buy, and then continue the process through spring and summer, and you're going to have yourself a beautiful grocery store right there on your own.
Right on your property. I like that.
And even in your own bed. Yes.
In your own bed, we would have a grocery store.
Your raised beds, whatever, you know. It doesn't matter how you do it. You've got it right there.
I'm coming to your house and doing some shopping on your mattress right there. Sounds pretty good to me.
Well, that's not going to happen.
But I hear what you're saying, though. That's a really good thought. But, no, listen, the pleasure that everybody will get, just starting today. If you have a day to yourself, you can go out and start looking at it. Like I said, some people say, you know, what is it like? How can I say this? I know when I drive down the street or on bike, you know, on the scooter or whatever, and I see people already in their garden starting to mow, I'm going, oh my gosh, I got to get to that. But I want you to feel good, people out there. Don't feel like your neighbor is really already doing it. What are you doing today, Hank? We're going to get our garden started. Well, good for Hank. You don't have to. In other words, you don't have to overdo it. But there is, I want everybody who's listening, I really would like everybody to plant at least one thing this year. Even if you don't go for a full-blown garden, do me a favor, just plant something. And then you can write us or call in and tell us about it. The reason I didn't have a regular call in today, Rhonda, is because our phone system was acting crazy today here in the studio.
I wonder what was going on.
Well, I'm not sure, but we didn't have enough time to figure out. That's like the garden. We should have checked the phone system.
Right.
Something we take for granted every day and make sure everything worked before we went on the air. But hopefully people are hearing this echoey sound of our voices and getting some information. And we'll definitely be coming back next week for part two of this. It's really exciting to have you here.
Thank you.
And thank you for
being
back. I want to hear your gardening exploits. I know that you do a lot of things in garden boxes these days because just the nature of where you are and how you grow and stuff. And, I look forward to seeing more pictures and more things of the things that you're growing this year. And for me, I got my dahlias for sure. And I got a friend of mine who's got some wonderful tomatoes. I'm not going to get too aggressive with tomatoes this year. You know, I always lose my tomatoes, no matter how beautiful they are. I go, I'll give them a couple more days, and then I go back out to harvest them, and I get the blight, and that's the end of that. I have not had one. Out of 100 tomatoes, I think I've eaten 5 in the last 2 years.
Right.
I don't get it, but that's the Northwest kind of thing. And, you know, being with the tomato maniac that I am, it was really hard not to eat my own tomatoes, you know. But the herbs did good, and the parsley and the basil, of course, and all that stuff. And there's some beans that did really well, and maybe we'll get back to beans this year. I really want everybody to really think about this, whether you're, like I said, planting a big garden. People can get in touch with Rhonda E. and myself, and let's tell people how to do so. You can write me, and in the subject line, write question for Rhonda E. at Chef's Duarto, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S-T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. And you can also go to the Chef Duarto's Food Mania page on Facebook and ask questions that way. We'd be happy, wouldn't we, to answer some questions to some of these people.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
And, we'll try to help you guys and girls out there get your garden going and get you involved in it. Next week, we'll cover a little bit more of the planting part of it and how we actually stick things in the ground.
And into the bugs we will go.
Oh, we'll talk about bugs next week,
too. Yes, we will.
That's good, because I like bugs.
Educate people not to just kill the bug, but learn how to get rid of the bug without harming the bug.
But also utilize the bug
utilize the bug.
Your garden, and just like worms or bees or pollination.
Do not get rid of your worm. Keep them, please.
Rhonda's saying that because she wants you the same, so when she goes fishing, she has some bait. I know her. Let me help you with your garden. What are you doing with that
pocket? You're
pocket?
A great helper in your garden.
I know. No, I'm kidding. And that's true. And also, you talk about the bees, like the big thing about the bees and the
disappearing. Let me tell you about the birds.
There you go. The disappearing of the bees and how a lot of people are actually bringing bees into their garden to help pollinate and that sort of thing. We'll talk a little bit about garden blocks a little bit and starting your own little bee collection there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Well, we're really happy that everybody listened today. We're going to say adios. Remember to thank you very much for telling us how much time we have. We'll look forward to talking to you all next week. And Rhonda, I hope that you'll be back with us next week for part 2.
Sounds great. Happy Easter, everybody.
Right. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. It's
the
end of Passover tonight. And hopefully everybody had a really good week and holiday. I'm thinking midnight tonight I get to eat a sandwich. How great is that?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.